नमस्ते. स्पीच वाणी लाइक ऑल थिंग्स इन इंडियन थॉट वी ट्राई टू कनेक्ट एवरीथिंग अल्टीमेटली टू इट्स डिवाइन ओरिजिन. स्पीच ऑल्सो हैज ए डिवाइन ओरिजिन, वेरी मच ए डिवाइन ओरिजिन, बिकॉज दिस वर्ल्ड इज क्रिएटेड बाय द वर्ड. एंड व्हाट इज दैट फर्स्ट वर्ड? यू कांट पुट इट इन ह्यूमन सिलेबल. Though we try to put it, we use the word Omkar, we use the word but it is the original star of creation, vibration. So speech is connected with the expression of that. That's why speech is the highest faculty in human beings. If you really look at, before human beings there is sound, and before animals there is not even sound, just a quietude. So speech is the most evolved faculty of in human nature, and therefore it itself is a sign that there is a certain degree of inner development. But what is it to express? It has to express the higher truths. So there are four levels through which speech operates. There is the paravak, the original vibration of sound which creates. And if one can open to that, and this voice can manifest that, then it is wonderful. That is the paravak. Then there is pashyanti vak, seeing intelligence. You see the truth and you express it. And that is also wonderful. Revelations, the rishis, you see. Rishis were trying to express both paravak, because there many of the things are mantric in nature. And also pashyanti vak, they saw and they expressed what they saw. But then there is lower two. There is Madhyama. Madhyama is in ignorance. It is WhatsApp University, post-graduation. Reading here, there, everything. And then there is Vaikari, is the most outward. Even thinking is not there. Not even trying to understand, know things. But whatever comes to the mind, we speak. And we think this is wisdom. There are people like that who say, whatever I know. You know, there was a very interesting limerick I had heard, which sometimes I share. This is by whoever. He says, I am so and so, my name is John something, and I am a graduate from Balliol College. All that is knowledge, I know it. All that I do not know is not knowledge. Understand the meaning? Illusion of knowledge. Whatever I think is knowledge. Humility is the first step towards knowledge, and this humility must go on, because there is no limit to the unfolding of the divine. Even when you have the Brahman realization, still there should be humility, more humility. The sign of a truly spiritual man is he never will say, oh, I know everything, I am going to teach you. No, because he knows that there is no end to it. There is always something to know in this world. You know, Sri Aurobindo, how does you operate the fan? And they say, oh, it is that simple. So that way, there is always something one needs to learn, know, grow. So this is the first step. If we want to express this pashyanti vak and the higher, we should know that all our opinions and viewpoints are all limited scaffoldings. If we take them to be final truths, whatever, we may be a professional field. Professionals have this big problem. Professionals have a huge ego. Why? Because I've done my PhD. What do you people know? Or I've done my MD. What do these people know? And therefore they can't know. Somebody was telling me again recently, said, but you know, WHO and all these doctors are saying. I said, precisely that's why it is not something to be taken as ultimate, because they have stopped at a point which they think as knowledge, which is all right. And one can understand very simply, if everything is a manifestation of energy, what if every material object? So what if the vibration, the virus is a manifestation of a certain vibration and energy? So one can understand how it spreads rapidly. One can understand that it's not only about physical contagion. One can then find better means and ways of stopping it. Isn't it? It's so simple as that. So, but there is an illusion of knowledge which we all carry. So first thing, before we talk about speech, is to learn to get the true knowledge. Then when we speak, we should speak truth. But do I know the truth? I don't know the truth. So I should know whatever I am expressing is my temporary truth. This should always be there. It's fine to say that I am feeling like this. But if I think that this feeling is the ultimate feeling, is the true feeling, then I am fooling myself. I really don't know within me. See, I am feeling like this. Supposing my soul comes out, then it may say, no, all your feelings are irresponsible feelings. They have no meaning at all. Then I will be shocked. I thought this is true, but it is not true at all. So one must know that when we use these words and when I am expressing the speech, it should always be stemming from a deep space of truth. And if I don't have that, which is fine, then at least I must be open towards discovering it. The third thing important is, and we need not, you know, somebody asked that we are often misunderstood. Yes, why? Because when you speak to someone, you have spoken. Now what is speech? It's expressing a state of consciousness. Thought and word are simply capsules. You may fill in it something and give it to the person. Now how do people respond to it? Have you seen when you give somebody, I have seen this when I give medicine. He says, this medicine is so small, but the other one was big. Are you sure this is as effective? So I have to tell them it is more effective actually. No, but the other one was big. See, this is how we receive. The speech goes through, within us it passes through many layers, intuition as it enters the brain, many layers, then finally when it comes out, already emotions have colored it, passions have colored it, thought has completely turned it into a fixed opinion. So by the time it comes out of the mouth, it is something completely different. Now the receiver also will go through all these layers. The ears will hear, now his heart will add a masala. So even if you are saying something beautiful, oh, I don't believe this, you know, this is, can't be. Then my thought is already acting with my repertoire of knowledge. Oh, I have seen people who will say, if he's saying so, if he's speaking so nicely, there must be some bad intention. Isn't it? You must have heard this. So you have to tell people that bad intention is inside you. So you are seeing this intention everywhere because you are suspicious. You believe that it is like that. Because we project, no? Mind projects. And then if you are not able to awaken in your soul and the speech comes from that space, you'll never understand it. Because, well, you don't have contact with that experience. So by the time it reaches the understanding, it's completely gone. That's why in Synthesis of Yoga, there's a whole chapter on purified understanding. How just to understand. That's how you see people read Sri Aurobindo, and you must have seen how WhatsApp things circulate. Even today I was seeing something completely meaningless, change the meaning, some half sentence and it goes about as true. I wish I had noted it and, you know, shared it. But this is because we are not really open to the faculty of understanding. Understanding literally means standing under the light. When we stand and open to the light, then the true understanding comes. Then another thing, speech is ultimately vibration. What it should create? It should create beauty, love, harmony, peace, hope, light. But speech is used more often than not to create fear, discord, division, fight, confusion, disunity, disaffection, hatred, jealousies, what not. So this instrument, which is so powerful, you know, the speech can be so powerful an instrument. There are examples in history that when people were exhausted, given up, we can't fight anymore, that time one man's speech and action changed the whole, the way people were responding. This is the power of speech. You know, Alexander, when people, he has come all the way from Greece right up to Afghanistan, and people say, now we want to go back. So Alexander says, those who want to go back, go back. I don't want to go back and tell my mother, Greece, that look, I came back a defeated man. You can go back. I'll proceed. And that whole speech is so powerful, so intense, whatever purpose it may have served. But it completely changed. Look at Sri Aurobindo. With his speech, he woke up a whole nation which was sleeping. What was the moderates trying that time? The moderates were trying, oh, we let us placate, let us get some kind of concessions in our action. Concessional freedom. What did Sri Aurobindo say? What? is it? Purna Swaraj, that's what we are demanding. So speech is not just about, oh, he's speaking very sweetly, nicely. Speech can be powerful, strong. Why not? But speech can also be very sweet. It should build harmony, not sweet just to get your work done. There is a kind of sweetness which can be very deceptive. To make people, you know, to fool people. So if you have that state of consciousness, then it's very dark. But generally, I mean, that is something which people try to mimic. That's not their nature. But speech can be sweet. It will create harmony just by the very words that come out. And then Sri Aurobindo, there is a very nice letter where he speaks of psychic self-control of speech. So psychic self-control of speech is, don't speak just in the rush of things. Step back. See whether you really need to speak or not. See if somebody has asked you to speak or not. I am in this particular situation where I keep reminding myself, why am I speaking? And several times earlier I used to pray to Mother, Mother, tell me, should I get into this or not? It's only after there was clarity that I started speaking. Because why should one speak? How does it matter? So there should be clarity. Whether if somebody is not asked for advice, to give opinion, why is it necessary? Lot of waste we do through speech. It's a means by which we externalize ourselves and we waste a lot of energy by speech. Lot of energy. One can be tired after speaking. Unless one is open to a source above, then it's a different thing. Then you are energized. But a speech which is only confined to the narrow realm of the ego and, you know, discussing what is called normally as gossip. So what happened in your neighbor's house? And then my neighbor, how people can talk without topics? You know, there is a joke about it that two people are chatting and after some half an hour, she said, whom were you talking? No, it was a wrong number. There are people who can talk like that. Just like that. Just don't understand. So speech is something which is to be cultivated. Otherwise, if you are constantly throwing our energies, we'll get very tired and exhausted. It's something to be conserved. It has to be put at the divine service, used for under the impulsion of the divine, for work of the divine. It's an instrument of work, service, and the highest form of service, because it is the highest faculty available in man. Everybody has hands and feet. Not everybody is blessed with, you know, speech and so one has to open it to higher ranges and speak only under impulsion of inspiration, intuition, revelation. That's what spiritual speech is about. When Mother was asked about spiritual speech, she said, one has to be inspired to speak spiritually. Spiritual speech is not scholarly speech. It is not an assemblage of this book, that book, and putting it together. It is, one has to be open to the faculties of inspiration, which comes the more quieter we are. So for 1 hour of speech, Mother recommends 10 hours of silence. And this silence, she recommends, is not just outer silence, but inner thoughts constantly running here and there. Why do thoughts run in these directions? Because we are egocentric people. So thoughts are constantly running, me, mine, my life, my life. Turn these thoughts towards the divine, then we'll open to the faculty of speech, to inspiration, intuition, revelation. The more the mind becomes quiet, the more outer noise and the inner noise of the thoughts, we should learn to, you know, bring peace into it. It's a package. It's not like, you know, start speaking nicely or to everybody, speak nicely to everybody. It's not about speaking nicely to everybody. You have to speak truth, otherwise stay silent. But you can speak truth in a beautiful way. For example, you see a person who comes to you and you feel that, you know, the person has a strong streak of, you know, is acting under an impulsion of egoism. But you also know that there is something which is divine in the person. Bring out that aspect. You know, how many times do children, parents deal this way that, oh, the faults they point out, but they hardly bring out the beautiful side. So bring out, and it's not about flattery. Flattery is not good at all, but in everyone there is a beautiful side, something divine, something true, and we should bring it out. See how Mother would appreciate. Every small thing she would appreciate. Even a little embroidery, oh, beautiful, my child. And she could make out whether this is offered or this is done without an offering. This is the use of speech, to look at the beautiful side of life and bring it out in our everyday dealing with others. But we don't do it because we are hurt. That is the problem. Because the ego comes. So either we flatter or we curse. So this is the part of it. And then there are many aspects of speech. It's a short reflection. So I'll just stop with a few things. People who practice truth. Now truth not in terms of mind vital and my truth and your truth. But who try to really look inside and connect with their soul. And they try to express that truth in life. Otherwise they will not express it. Then these people, when they speak something, it becomes true. Because it becomes the power of speech. That's how the rishis acquired the power. That whatever they said, we use the word curse, but in every curse there was a boon. When the rishis did it, it acquires a power. Then another aspect of speech is that every day when we meet people, we can help each other simply by greeting, good morning. Say it with the heart. See, it's a small thing. It will help rather than just going away. Grum face. People look at you, you are not supposed to even smile. There are people like that. But you have given a faculty of speech, say something beautiful, express it from the depth of your being. You have added to the sum total of beautiful vibrations in the world. So, word has power. How we use it. That's why ill will is so harmful. Because when we throw ill will, we are increasing the divine burden on the world. Somebody will be sick, somebody will be hurt. Somebody will be pained. Somebody will suffer. And so now divine has to do the laundry washing. But if we give hope, we give joy, we give strength, then we are doing work of the divine. So work of the divine is not only the allotted work. When we speak, it's all the time happening. So when we have awakened hope, strength, aspiration, joy, peace, harmony, then what is happening? We are helping humanity to grow. We are easing out the work of the divine. So speech itself can be used to serve the divine. So speak little, speak with this connection, speak whether it's necessary or not, contemplate, then speak. And don't allow yourself to be rushed by the vital into speech. That's a very difficult practice, because when the vital storm is there, one tends to rush into that. So learn to step back. And always with this idea of goodwill inside, that may this speech create beauty and good and harmony and peace, awaken hope, kindle the fire of aspiration, give strength to the weak in this world. So, as a brief reflection, only this much we'll have. Thank you.